This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Mikey on Joy.
Good morning, Tom.
Yeah, turn the music down and stop yelling. It is so early. There's people just waking up, and I'm just trying to wake up. Have you been to bed yet?
Yeah, I had a great sleep. I don't know why I'm feeling so positive.
I know, that's the problem with these young people. You know, they come in, they're all happy. I'm going to knock him down. Don't worry, by 7:30 you'll be bitchy like me.
Yeah. Vegan March, Tom. It's all in the news. It's been everywhere. Like, what everyone's been talking about. So we're going to hash over it quickly just so we can get our 2 cents into the ring.
Oh, yeah. Well, it has been, haven't they? Well, I mean, this is what we're going to talk about. So we did have the vegans come in and disrupt the city on Monday.
Big time.
And did you see the politicians and the newspapers go at them, calling them green terrorists?
Yeah.
All these horrible words. But you know, yesterday we also had a march through the city. 150,000 people shut the...
Did we?
But the news quoted it very differently. It's Australian workers looking for a fair go. So it shows me they're hypocritical. But this is, we're all going on and having a go at the vegans. We have a right to, in this country, to protest. Whether you believe in what they're protesting or not, you have a right. I mean, we have to think here as the gays. If we weren't walking down the streets a few years ago, we wouldn't have marriage equality. We need to push for
true,
other
true,
rights as
true,
well.
True.
But I will say, those vegans, the moment they jump somebody's fence to steal their animal, you've lost me.
Yeah.
Protest. Oh, I was thinking, if what happens if someone jumps...
Tell that story. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. Did they actually steal someone's animals? Is it like protest?
They've done it to multiple places, but there's a little farm out in Victoria.
Okay.
They were a goat farm. So they actually were trying to make goat cheeses and that, and they opened the farm up so people can come and play with their animals as well.
Cute.
Well, they've walked in and basically just stole the people's goats.
Okay.
So these poor people have actually had to shut their business because of the hate and the invasion on their property. I was thinking, you know what, if someone jumped my fence to steal my chicken or dogs, I don't think they'd get back over the fence alive. Seriously. But stand out the front and protest with a placard and I'll be quite happy to go out there. I'll bring you a drink of water. You know, I'll help you protest.
Because they're trying to boycott goat's cheese. It's like my favourite thing in the world.
Well, they're more trying to boycott the goats being milked.
Yeah,
and it's the whole concept of it all.
But I'm just taking away the goat's cheese part of it. Look, I think they definitely, everyone has a right to march, but then I'm playing devil's advocate here. Everyone also has the right to criticise the march and slander the march and force their opinions back onto the vegans.
Well, correct. I mean, if you don't enjoy it, but that's always been part of our society. We have always protested on the streets.
Yeah.
If the government's not listening, we need to be able to get out, cause a bit of disruption and do it. But there's a way to do it, because I think, unfortunately, these people, the vegans, have been their own worst enemies.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what got me was more the way the news yesterday quoted, I mean, good on these 150,000 people walking down the street. We are correct. There's been no wage rises. You know, inflation's gone up. People are going backwards. They're struggling to pay their electricity bills. We should be out on the streets marching. But I just found it very different how the news will change. Well, Mikey, you have heard the old saying, better in than out.
Yeah,
sorry. You've heard that.
I was thinking of the Shrek one with Sex. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, well, I have a whopper that will prove that your mama DJ was right again. Yeah. While breaking wind, maybe some people prefer not to do it in front of an audience, but there are times in our life where you do want to hold it in. And
always.
You know, you think of a new relationship, if you're dating someone, you don't want to, you know, fart straight away in their presence, do you?
I was hanging out with my friend Mia the other day and I couldn't. I had a cheese sandwich at the morning, and you know me and cheese, we don't agree. So it was a tough night for me, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to do it at Nana's birthday party and things, but there could be a problem. Holding in that fart could be doing you more harm than good. Holding in a fart, there's a chance that you're actually going to breathe it out of your mouth instead.
What?
No, this is true. According to Professor Clark Collins, a nutritionist and dietitian expert at the University of Newcastle, holding in a trapped wind may cause abdominal distension with gases reabsorbed into the circulation then exhaled out in your breath.
That is manky. That's proper yucky.
But that just proves, I mean, now you think of all these people with bad breath, maybe it's not they don't brush their teeth, maybe they just hold in too many farts.
Maybe that's, you know, there's that thing halitosis where you got the stanky breath?
Yeah.
What if that's just fart breath.
It's just fart breath. Well, it's so true.
It would be. Yeah. It's but, the most know, childish thing I've said in this show.
But she also does go on to say that, you know, let's be honest, holding in a fart is actually quite futile. If you hold on too long, eventually you get a build-up of the internal gases and they just escape in an uncontrollable fart.
Yeah, so that, I know that feeling all too happen. Well. Yeah, yeah.
Did you know, I used to, when I was younger, my favourite thing was to make sure I was alone in the lift and you hang on and you make sure you do a really good one in the lift and watch people's faces as they get in and you look around everybody and try to accuse people. But that was a childish game. I've grown out of that now.
That's why the lifts outside smell so bad. You're still playing. Yeah, you're still playing. No one's asked for this.
And just like the look of people's faces when the doors open, you think, oh, I did that. So, Mikey, don't hold it in. Let it out because, you know, you're going to have no chance of kissing any girls if you keep holding it in.
Gather round, folks. It's time for
Wisdom with my co-host Tom. It's time for Tom's Wisdom.
It's time for Tom's Wisdom.
I tell you what, that hook's going to go to number one. Yeah, it's going to be a number one seller.
We'll get to the ARIA Awards or something for that.
That'd be really good. We could stand up next to Amy Shark and go, oh, you know, that shit that you're right, you know, like, look what we can do.
We should release our own album. That's not why we're here to talk, but we should do that later.
Oh, that's right.
Tom, underage drinking is as big, I don't want to call it an epidemic. It's a thing that's happening. Kids are doing it even younger and younger. As a parent, I wanted to know what your plan
was. Who says they're doing it younger and younger? Because when I was young, we were drinking. Yeah.
How young were you?
Well, I can remember my mother's 21st, so if she had me at 15, I was 6, and that was probably the first time I stole a beer at her party. I had older cousins, and I can remember my mum's 21st, and it's only because we're talking about it was a wagon, and we were drinking under the wagon. Mum goes, that was my 21st. I go, well, I must have been 6, so that's the first time I stole a beer at a party.
Oh, my God. Okay, you're a different case. I'm talking kids are drinking year 8, year 9, which I think is quite, like, pretty early.
As a parent, I was totally opposite. Okay, my children weren't allowed to drink. But then again, we did. I actually had people had goes at me, as in other parents or aunties, because my children were allowed to have a drink at the family table on special occasions, birthdays, Christmas. You know, special occasions yes. like that. I didn't think there was anything wrong with them having a half a glass of champagne if that's what we're all celebrating. You know, grandma's 40th, someone's birthday.
Yeah.
And that's a way of teaching them that, you know, drinking is a social thing in moderation. It's not that special. I didn't think that was a problem, but they weren't allowed to drink out of my presence.
Okay, so at parties they just didn't.
They weren't allowed to. Well,
not to your knowledge, yeah.
If you were sitting at a table at a special occasion when okay. it was a sit-down, everyone could have a little bit of red wine okay. or a little bit of thing. But then again, I've got to stop and think, you know what, underage drinking is fantastic. You know, I was a redhead, pimply-faced 15-year-old. I wouldn't have got laid at 15 if it wasn't for alcohol. I mean, let me tell you.
Okay.
I'm very concerned. You, young man, you're over...
I'm 20, yes. Yeah, so
you're
fine.
Allowed to drink, and you need to drink. Yeah.
Okay, for words. In my high school, I experienced all of it only a couple of years ago, and some kids had different... Like, some parents... would buy the kids alcohol when they're underage and let them go to parties. And my method was just, I won't tell my parents, and I didn't do it much, but I just wouldn't tell my mum. I didn't want to break her heart.
I used to make sure I'd always be the parent to pick the children up and you look them in the eye and you know what they've been drinking. That's true, because we were living in Sydney at this stage and my daughter turned 15 and she went to a performing arts school. Their parents... They went to a birthday party. Jade calls me saying, Dad, you better come and get me. I'm at Coogee Park. The mother took alcohol and let 15-year-old girls sit at Coogee Beach at night. And I'm just thinking, this is when kids go missing. It's when there's a chance for sexual assault.
Yeah, there's everything wrong with that picture.
Thank God I had a child who had enough sense to actually ring me up. Her plan used to be if things were going wrong and there was a lot of drinking, she'd ring me and go, are you sure I have to come home now, Dad? So as soon as I heard that, I was like, boom, yes, I'm on my way.
Okay,
so that makes them not look like stupid because you've still got to fit in with your social.
Yeah.
So if it's my children, you will not be drinking. But if you're a pimply-faced, redhead 15-year-old out there, you've got to get laid, drink as much as you can.
Love that, eh? Thanks, Tom.
Wow, thanks, Tom. That was so darn helpful. Another Tom's Wisdom, and it was successful.
Wake up with Tom and Mikey, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandmikey.com. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.